Blog Talk Radio.
Play. Duh. Yeah.
Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Yeah. All right, all ready. The show goes on all night. Every morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come up.
Up, I just laugh, put my kicks up on they desk, unaffected by they threats, then get busy on they ass. See, that's how that shut down made me, that's how my daddy raised me. That glycerin may not be gold, don't let nobody play me. If you are my homeboy, you never have to pay me. Go on and put your hands up, when times is hard, you stand up. L.U.P. the man, cause the brand that the fans trust. So even if they ban us, they'll never slow my plans up.
Welcome back to The Right Way here live on Blog Talk Radio. I'm very, 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 very excited to be back with you guys. Have to apologize for the hiatus. Definitely had some things I had to get in order. Professionally and, personal. But I'm, like I said, I'm just very excited to be back. I'm here tonight with my co-host for tonight, Jeremy, so...
Hey everybody, how you doing? I'm Jeremy. Nice to meet you all.
So we're very excited for the show. A lot has happened. Since the last time I was on air with you guys. But like I said, there's a lot of topics to talk about tonight. We have different topics ranging from the draft to the Tom Brady situation that we all see that's going on right now. So I'm excited to get started. Hold on 1 second. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, how you doing, Mike?
How are you, Malik?
I'm doing very good. Ladies and gentlemen, this is also our fantasy guy that's going to be joining us on the show this year, starting with this show, Michael Piccarelli. So, Mike, you can introduce yourself to everyone.
Hey, how's everybody doing? Jeremy, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm excited to be on. Love talking fantasy. I love football, and just want to win championships, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. Let's get this thing started. So I want to kick the show off, first saying happy birthday to our one of the first guests we've ever had on the show, former NFL safety, David Caldwell. Man, I want to wish you a very, very happy birthday, and many, 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 many more to come, man. You're definitely a part of the Back Sports Page family, and you're also a part of the Right Way family. So we just wanted to shout out, give you a happy birthday shout out, man. From there, I want to get you guys' thoughts on what's going on in Philadelphia. And I'm talking about the situation regarding Sam Bradford. As we all know, he's requesting a trade, then he doesn't want a trade, then he wants a trade. It's like the guy can't make his mind up. I want to get your guys' feedback on what you guys think about him going back and forth, up and down, sideways with the Eagles, and it seems like he's just not. It seems like he doesn't know what he wants. So I want to ask you guys that question. I'll ask you the question, Mike, first. What do you think about the situation that's going on in Philadelphia?
A little bit of an overreaction, probably by Sam Bradford. I mean, who's to say that Wentz can come right in and start? And he probably doesn't, want this guy looking over his shoulder, but. Hey, man, it's the NFL. He's lucky he has a job, and he's lucky he's getting paid $18 million. So, It does put some pressure. It does put some pressure on him. So hopefully, you know, if he plays well, then Wentz will never see the field, and you know, everybody's happy. Go ahead, Malik. I'm sorry. Were you gonna say something?
No problem. Jeremy, what do you think about it?
I think when people look a little bit deeper into the situation, you realize what's really going on behind it. I mean, he's put into a situation where he's set up to fail, but he's supposed to act like, you know, an A1 guy. I mean, you know, you're thrown into Philadelphia, you're told you're going to be the guy, you know, you're told you're going to be the franchise player, but when you're brought in, you know, they draft another quarterback, you know, they guarantee it two years. I mean, he wasn't given the pieces around him either, I would say. Everything was taken away from Philadelphia. And, you know, I would say really suspect players were brought in. And I thought Nelson Agholor was never a first-rounder. I believe that when it was all, like, said and done, that Sam Bradford, you know, kind of had to do everything on his own. I feel like that doesn't get looked at much. I mean, DeMarco Murray didn't pan out what he was supposed to be in Philadelphia. He's not even there at the moment. I think people are kind of beating down on Sam Bradford for all the wrong reasons. I mean, I think he is acting really immature about the whole situation. But altogether, I mean, they're setting him up to fail, and, you know.
I mean, this is the way I look at it. I look at it like, okay, the Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre situation. The only difference is Sam Bradford is younger. Sam Bradford, you know, he basically was paid to help mentor this guy. They know they're not going anywhere with Sam Bradford. He was paid to help mentor this guy, but don't you think that this can put – you know, the mentoring process for Carson Wentz in a stagnant position because of Sam Bradford's, you know, ego, in a sense? Don't you think that this can hurt him in more ways than help him? Like, I mean, I'm not looking at, you know, the on-field effect. I'm looking on the off-the-field effect on not with just Carson Wentz, not with just his development, but, you know, with the locker room, I feel like that's going to bring a lot of turmoil in the locker room. And it's not too often you see quarterbacks, you know, cause turmoil in a locker room unless, you know, they're Johnny Manziel. But other than that, you know, I mean, it's pretty shocking to see somebody act like this. And, you know, Sam Bradford is acting, you know, like he deserves to be handed the starting position and that no one should be competing with him when, you know, Sam Bradford has to understand he's more times than not, he's found himself injured. You know, 75% of the time this guy's been injured. So with that, I don't really understand. I mean, I understand why the Eagles paid for him. They basically don't want to say it, but they paid the guy basically to mentor Carson Wentz. But, you know, I feel like in this scenario, he can hurt Carson Wentz more than help him because he's not a good player himself. So, I mean, if you ask me, I think they would be better asking Mark Brunell to come out of the broadcasting booth, you know, and sign him to a contract because, you know, at this point, he's not really doing any favors for anybody in Philadelphia. The guy didn't have a good season last year. You know, he's an average guy to me. I don't even know. I wouldn't even consider him a starter anymore. I think Sam Bradford right now in the NFL is a backup at best, a subpar backup. That's what I think. But I think because of the money, we look at the money that Brock Osweiler got. We look at the money that, you know, all these quarterbacks have gotten over the years, and we just – you know, I guess he's comparing himself to, I guess, what he thinks he can do. I mean, I think Sam Bradford's delusional, if you ask me, though. But, you know, yeah. Anybody else got anything to say about that before I switch?
I mean, I would say that he didn't have anything around him. I mean, it takes 11 guys, you know, to get that offense rolling. I mean, you look at guys that come in like A.J. McCarron to the Bengals or Brock Osweiler with the Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Brock Osweiler was throwing to Demaryius Thomas. He's throwing to Emmanuel Sanders. You know, these are quality guys right now. I mean, these are, you know, easily top 20 receivers. I mean, Sam Bradford, when you're watching an Eagles game, you just see drop after drop after drop. Like I said, Brady still got Nelson Agholor, too. I think this did not pan out what, you know, Chip Kelly thought it was going to be. I mean, no run game. Offensive linemen getting hurt. I mean, it's kind of like, I feel like he made a lot out of, if you think about it, a lot out of really nothing. I mean, you throw a guy a ball four times, he dropped it three times. Another player is definitely what's needed, definitely.
I just think the jury's out on him still. I mean, but if you ask me, I just think that the guy hasn't shown anything to make him, you know, have to, like, you know, I guess argue this. I mean, I think he should be very grateful that a team is taking a chance on him personally. That's just the way I feel about it. But we could sit and debate about this all night. I'm not a Sam Bradford fan, ladies and gentlemen, and I just want you guys to know that right off the bat. I'm not a fan of him. I don't believe him. If you ask me, Carson Wentz, you're the starter right away. Get this guy Sam Bradford out of there. But, hey, that's why I am doing podcasts. I strictly voice my opinion. So with that being said, let's switch gears. We just touched on Johnny Manziel before I touched on Johnny Manziel. I don't really want to spend too much time talking about this guy, but I got to ask Mike this. Because, you know, he was a stud coming out of college, Mike. Everybody expected, I guess everybody thought he had a high ceiling in the NFL. I, for one, didn't think so. Is this the end for Johnny Manziel?
His NFL life, yeah, I believe so. I think teams are getting more smarter and less tolerant for players when it comes to, you know, extracurricular activity outside the game in terms of, like, law and childish play. You know, he needs the NFL way more than the NFL needs him. I mean, it's not like the kid is Andrew Luck or anything. So, I mean, like I said, I just think the teams have been getting a little bit more tolerant lately. I can't imagine him getting another shot. There's no reason. He doesn't even seem the desire to want to have one. So I'm actually kind of done with him. I was never really on him. I agree with you. Didn't really ever believe the hype. You know, I'm kind of a show me guy, and, you know, I didn't get excited for him. So I'm just hopefully he's over, and I don't really prefer talking about him.
I hear you on that one. Jeremy,
yeah,
got any words on Johnny?
Real quick.
Yeah, I think he really blew a big opportunity. I always thought he was a great player in college. I was a big fan of him in college, but that really all went downhill in the NFL. I mean, I felt like he had less to offer and had more to prove than what people even could slightly think of giving him. I mean, it's not like you're working with a Cam Newton, a 6'5 frame with a cannon for an arm. I mean, you're working with, you know, barely 6 foot, you know, just not all there, Johnny Manziel, with a lot of, you know, the off-field issues just don't match up to the potential of him.
Agreed. Mike, what was the question you're going to ask me?
I was just going to add to what you were speaking to, we were speaking about previously. I think the change in the front office, even, you know, with the whole Chip Kelly thing, like, you know, what Jeremy said, you know, Sam Bradford was sold on something, on a particular deal, not deal, but, you know, agreement. Oh, hey, DeMarco's there, they're both OU guys, XYZ. And then when things change up top, it's like, whoa, I didn't sign up for this, you know? So,
yeah,
that is to his defense. His play doesn't really defend himself very much. I'm with you. I think there's many other teams that would have somebody, you know, comparison to him. But, you know, he's a good, healthy backup. And if he had to play an 8-game stretch, you never know. In the right offense, in the right situation, he could help a team.
That's very true. But I'm sorry. I got to stay away from him. I don't trust him. The ACL tears, man. ACL tears, and now the character concerns are, you know, are big no-nos for me. But right now we got a caller in, so I want to get to our caller right now. Thank you for calling to The Right Way with Malik and Mike and Jeremy. Who am I speaking with? Hello? Hello? All right. I'm going to ask again. Hello? Thanks for calling us The Right Way. All right. I guess I lost that caller. Anyway, so we can agree, you know, to disagree with the Sam Brad. We can all agree on the Johnny Manziel situation. Let's switch gears here. Tom Brady. Deflategate comes back up. You know, just when we think it's all over, just when we think it's said and done, it peaks his ugly head again. What do you guys think about that?
I think Roger Goodell did the tomfoolery there. I mean, out of nowhere, you're bringing this up again. I mean, I forgot about the Deflategate. I think when you look at Tom Brady's career overall, I see the greatest quarterback of all time. I mean, overall, it's just, you know, trying to take a knock on the career and, you know, taking the game away from the players and putting it in the men's suits. And that's not why people watch football.
I think we got our caller back right away. Hold one second. Thank you for calling us the right way with Malik, Jeremy, and Mike. Who am I speaking with?
Good evening, fellas. This is Max.
How you doing, Max?
What's happening, Max?
What's going on, Max?
What's going on? Question for you in regards to my football Giants. How do you see them projected this year after their draft and after all the off-season pickups?
You said it's the Giants?
Yeah, after our long season last year, how do you see them panning out after all the acquisitions we got this year?
I think when you have a receiver in Odell Beckham, and I think when you have a very, 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 probably the most underrated quarterback of all time is Eli Manning, I think that you always have a chance. I mean, that's one of the toughest divisions in football. You know, the teams might not always be good, but the games are always tough. I think that the Giants have a pretty good chance with these upgrades on defense. And, you know, Ben McAdoo, a new face as head coach, I think the Giants have a pretty good chance of grabbing that title this year.
Mike, you want to answer that?
yeah. I'm a big fan of what the Giants did in the offseason. I thought they had a really good draft. The running back from UCLA is one of my favorite picks of theirs. The safety they got is can contribute, considering there's no real stud there right now. Obviously, Odell, the wide receiver they drafted with that kid fantasy-wise. Eli should keep the ball moving with McAdoo. They like him, like a little Randall Cobb kind of a guy. And hopefully the defensive free agents that came over play. You know, typically the history doesn't show that free agent winners, quote-unquote, you know, produce to wins, you know, more so than losses. But hopefully that's a trend that doesn't continue with the Giants because they were necessary moves and they were, you know, real good players. I think the Giants will compete for that division, and I like what they did, Max.
Max, why you doing this to me, man? Why you gotta have me answering questions about the Giants? You're really gonna try to force me to say something good about them? Honestly speaking, I think the New York Giants, okay, they made a few good moves in the off season. A few good moves. Notice I said a few. They overpaid for a few guys too. Do the guys you picked up change the football team? In my eyes, only one, Damon Harrison. But other than that, I don't really see any. I mean, the defense will be a little bit better, but I mean, look, you went out, you paid a whole bunch of money. I believe it was somewhere around $62 million for what was the guy's name? Janoris.
Janoris Jenkins.
Janoris Jenkins. Yeah, the overrated cornerback from the Rams. Then you went out and you, of all the cornerbacks that were on the board, you went out and in the first round of the draft, you picked up Eli Apple. Who in my eyes is another Justin Gilbert, who, if anybody doesn't know who Justin Gilbert is, he's the bust for the Cleveland Browns, who's a slot cornerback at best, who still can't do well in that spot. I mean, to me personally, the Giants will always be the Giants. I think that, you know, Odell Beckham is obviously Odell Beckham. He's a phenomenal receiver. Eli Manning is always going to be Eli Manning. Sometimes you get hot Eli Manning, sometimes you get cold Eli Manning. Sometimes you get in the middle of Eli Manning, but, you know, more times than not, you get cold Eli Manning, unless it's a divisional game. Other than that, I mean, I just think that the Giants are going to – they're going to compete for the division because the division sucks. And there's really no clear taker of the division right now. So, I mean, you know, that's just my opinion. I don't really think that there's a – I really don't think that there's a definite player. I mean, a definite team right now playing, you know, in that division that I would look at and say, oh my God, that they're going to be a, you know, they're going to take the division. Everybody thinks that the Dallas Cowboys are going to take the division because they drafted Ezekiel Elliott. I'm sorry, that's not going to happen. I mean, the Cowboys have more problems than just running the football. New York Giants, the one thing they were missing this year was a pass rush. I'll admit, going out getting Olivier Vernon, who you guys paid way too much money for, You guys went out and got Damon Harrison, who was a very good pickup. And then you got the crazy JPP, the guy who blew his fingers off. So, I mean, the way I look at it, you know, I think the Giants are still – I think the Giants, in my eyes, are going to win the division. But I don't think they're winning the division by a lot. I see them winning division by a game or so. So my best record for the Giants is 10-6, 9-7. That's where I see them going, Max.
Gotcha.
Giants for you.
I'm sorry. What?
So let me break it down for something. Two things I noticed about the Giants. Giants, when they're drafting, they see a player they like. They don't care where they take them. I can really recall watching the draft that, you know, the year Odell Beckham was taken, and I was looking at players, you know, Brandon Cooks on the board, you know, Biletnikoff, when just, you know, crazy speed, not missed guy. I think Brandon Cooks is a good player, too, but they drafted Odell over him, Eric Ebron. I feel like they just see a player they like and they take him. I could be wrong with this, but I feel like that's going to be the same case for Eli Apple. The other thing about the Giants is they had room to improve on the defense. So, you know, the spending money in free agency, it's a hit or miss. I mean, you know, your defense couldn't get much worse than that. I think Olivier Vernon, really young player, same thing with Janoris Jenkins. Landon Collins is an upcoming star, too. I mean, this guy just makes every tackle.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Alabama boy.
Oh, yeah, you know how I feel about that the whole time.
But I have to say one thing about that, Jeremy. I really have to say one thing about this. My whole thing with the New York Football Giants is I don't have a problem with them drafting corner in the first round. Hear me out, Max. Hear me out, Mike. I don't have a problem with the New York Football Giants drafting cornerback in the first round. My problem is who they drafted in the first round. That's where my problem is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, and I'm not trying to make a Bengals reference. You guys know I love to make Bengals reference on this show. But William Jackson III was on the board. If we're talking about true defensive backs, yes, and that includes you, Mr. Jalen Ramsey. If we're talking about true defensive backs, I mean a true cornerback, in my eyes, when I did my own draft study, William Jackson III was clearly the best cover cornerback in the draft. He's a guy who I coveted. He's a guy who I saw going very high, and I was very shocked when the Giants went Eli Apple. I at least thought they were going to, if they were going to go corner, I thought they were going to go him. The reason why I put Jalen Ramsey in that is because Jalen Ramsey could play safety or corner. But if I'm talking about a true cornerback in the draft, I got to go William Jackson III. The guy's a shutdown corner. And it's not too often you get players like that. I mean, Hargraves was good as well, but
Hargraves is better.
To me,
I mean, tougher defense.
I don't think so. I don't think Hargraves is better. I think Hargraves had better talent around him. But we're not going to debate that. It's just a personal opinion. I just feel like that. I feel like William Jackson was better than Eli Apple, and I think William Jackson should have went before him personally. That's just an opinion I have. I don't think he should have been there for the Bengals to pick him, and I was very shocked by it. And, you know, needless to say, I mean, hey, the Giants could also use another receiver besides Odell Beckham. We don't know how Victor Cruz is going to play. Guys have played in a year and a half. Could have went Laquon Treadwell. You could have went Corey Coleman, who I know Jeremy is very, very high on.
Okay.
I think, I mean, but I'm just saying, there were guys with higher upsides than just, you know, there's the difference from first-round receivers to second-round receivers to third-round receivers. First-round receivers are clear-cut. But then again, I guess nobody's really clear-cut unless you show what you can do on the field. Sorry to make more out of the topic than what it had to be. Was there any more questions you had for us, Max?
Well, one, we know who the receivers
sir.
Are. But as far as running back, do you think the running back was enough to open up the passing game?
I'll let Mike answer that.
What's that?
Repeat that one more time, Max.
With the receivers we have, we know they're good enough. They're good. But with the running game, particularly Rashard Jennings, do you think he's enough
to open up the passing game?
I do, yeah. I believe I'd be confident McAdoo can put together something that will work for these guys. Like I said, I'm a fan of the rookie they drafted. Some believe between Jennings and I don't even know who they still have there now other than Jennings is I don't remember the guy's name, but
Darkwa.
McAdoo is more of a what's his name?
Orleans Darkwa.
Yes. So I think that McAdoo will be able to at least, you know, give him enough, you know, Eli's good in the play action. I would have liked to see him up here at the offensive line a little bit more. I don't know if they have any tricks up their sleeve for the rest of the free agency, but all that money they spent on defense, I wish they would have saved a couple bucks.
Please try again.
I wish they would have saved a couple bucks to at least strengthen the offensive line a little bit.
Say dial, then the phone number.
I think the running back.
No, go ahead.
I think the running backs there, I mean, you know, they don't have that target on their back. I think the passing game is, you know, it's good enough just because of the talent that they have. I mean, you even have a great pass catcher in Shane Vereen. But I think overall, you know, the passing game is what's going to have to be stopped for the Giants, and it's more about if the passing game can open up this running game and, you know, make it go vice versa afterwards.
Good
call.
Agreed. I mean, I do think that, you know, the Giants running game, I think you guys have just enough to make it happen. Your offense is not what concerns me this year. It's more so your defense. I'm very curious to see how everybody plays together and meshes well together. I'm really interested to see. I mean, a lot of people are forgetting you still got DRC over there, Dominic Rogers Cromartie, along with your Norris Jenkins, and, you know, now Eli Apple, who I'm not really high on, but, you know. And then you got, like Jeremy said, Landon Collins. I mean, so you guys do got guys back there who I do think you can get the job done. I guess I got to take on, outlook on it like how Mike does. You know, it's one of those show me things. I got to wait to see how, you know, how these things happen. But, Max, I want to thank you for calling on, man. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me on.
Yes, sir. Have a good night. We have another caller calling in right now. I want to jump to them. Thank you for calling into The Right Way with Malik Wright, Jeremy, and Mike. How are you? Who am I speaking with?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? This is Bryce calling in from Brooklyn.
Hey, how you doing, Bryce?
Good, Bryce.
What's going on? What's going on? So I want to talk about my Pittsburgh Steelers, if that's okay.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
oh,
I heard
God.
You talking about you were a Bengals fan.
Yes, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, this can get crazy right now.
I just wanted to just talk about the draft we had, get you guys' thoughts on it. I thought our draft was a pretty good draft overall. No day one starters, but a lot of young, productive guys with a lot of speed. I thought Burns, you know, you talk about William Jackson and getting him, you know, him going just one spot ahead of us was crazy. But, you know, I thought Burns was a top five corner in this draft. And if Joseph's not there because Pittsburgh needed a safety, then taking Burns, I didn't have a problem with that. I love Davis and Hargrave in the second and third rounds. And I think Feeney could be a sleeper pick at the outside linebacker. So overall, I give it a B. What do you guys think?
I'll answer that. Sure. I think Pittsburgh's draft was very, very good. I don't think you guys got exactly everything you guys were looking for. But I do think that, you know, you guys did go for the position that, you know, I do think you guys took the best available position on the board for what your need was.
Right.
When you look at Artie Burns, I said this to a few people. My perspective, I think Artie Burns is a project player. I think he's a guy who can be good for you guys in the future, but he's a bit raw. He certainly has his work cut out for him. You know, in that division, covering guys like AJ Green, now Corey Coleman. You know, Mike Wallace for now returning to the, you know, to our division with the Baltimore Ravens. You got Steve Smith, the grown man over there in Baltimore as well. I mean, there are a lot of guys you know, if he's going to be a very good cornerback in this league, he's picked the right division to go up, you know, to be in, especially, you know, on his, you know, if he wants to be one of the best, he's going against one of the best receivers, if not the best receiver in the NFL right now, consistently in practice in Antonio Brown. So I think I wouldn't be too worried about him. I think Pittsburgh draft like Pittsburgh. You guys don't shock me. You know, defense is the majority of your draft. One thing that I wish you guys, I mean, not, I don't wish you guys would have done, because I'm obviously a rival. But one thing that if I was in the front office position, I would have done is, with Martavis Bryant missing the entire football season due to him being a knucklehead, I would have actually went out and went receiver. That's something that I would have looked into to do, because it was there for the taking. You know what I'm saying? So, like, we don't know. We know how these things can keep coming up. I mean, look at Josh Gordon's situation. One moment Josh Gordon looks like he's on the, you know, he's going in the right direction, then he goes right back down. You know, so for me, you know, the best predictor of future behavior is past behavior. So guys have shown me in the past that they, you know, have off-the-field issues, you know, substance abuse issues, whatever the, you know, problem may be, or, you know, abusing the NFL protocol, then maybe you're not the answer for us. So for insurance, I would go out and I would get a receiver who, in my eyes, might be the answer for us. Does that make sense to you, man?
Yeah, I mean, I could see why you would think that. I just think what Pittsburgh already has in-house, you know, it's a pretty good group.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got A.B., who I think is the number one guy in the league. Marcus Wheaton's a good number two. I thought towards the end of the season he really came on. Sammy Coates was drafted last year. He's ready to go. And I think Darius Heyward-Bey had a really good season for Pittsburgh. He's an effort guy, still got great speed, can get downfield, take top off coverage. And they brought in the tight end, Green. And I think Green's going to bring you a little different element than Heath did in his later years, even though I think Heath, over the past 10 years, one of the best all-around tight ends in the game. So I think they balance the offense out okay. You get the running backs back.
I definitely do have to give you guys a lot of credit on Darius Green, getting him. That was a big pickup. He, in my eyes, is the fastest tight end in the NFL right now.
Oh, wow.
I can remember watching the game film on him. I can also remember watching him go up against my Cincinnati Bengals. And just seeing the, you know, his explosiveness. You almost think you're going up against a receiver. So, you know, he's definitely going to, you know, yes, definitely. I mean, you know, think about when I look at our division, teams in our division have so many problems with tight ends, to the point now where I think that Ladarius Green is going to be, I think he's going to be so effective for you guys already with, you know, Antonio Brown. That actually totally flipped my mind that you guys actually had him. I remember when I got the news you guys signed him. I was like, oh my God, if there was ever a team I wish he didn't go to, you know, especially a team with a high potent pass attack in the Pittsburgh Steelers. So, you know, definitely every team in our division has their work cut out for them, you know, with that offense. But I'm not worried about your offense. Your offense is always going to be explosive. But what happens when that defense has stepped on the field? That's the real question.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I mean, look, by the end of the season, aside from some breakdowns, just not having that elite guy in the back end, I thought our defense, particularly our front seven, has really stepped up. I mean, they're building the defense. I think Hargrave was a good draft pick for that. The front seven has started to get an identity. Tough against the run. The ends are gonna more two gap than one gap. They're going to get after people now. They got two stud ends that can pass rush. So I think the front seven's coming along. This draft was about building the back end. So they're building the defense back up. I think the defense will be okay.
Well, I guess we shall see. Mike, do you got anything to comment on that at all?
Steelers, I mean, I like their draft. Like you said, Malik, 5 out of 7 picks are on defense. Their offense doesn't really need much help. I'm not a big Heyward-Bey guy. I would try to give Sammy Coates the heads up, but I do love a little Darius Green. Between, you know, Lev Bell's 75, 85 catches, obviously AB's 100 and however many you like to throw in there. I think they'll be able to spread it around enough. I love Pittsburgh. They ball every year, man. If their offensive line holds up, you know, again, they're gonna be one of the last men standing.
Absolutely. So I got to ask you this question, man.
No, I was just going to say from the offensive line standpoint, that's become a real strength. I think Pittsburgh has one of the top lines in the league now. Particularly with Villanueva coming in at left tackle and just really, you know, not being great, but performing under those circumstances, a young guy with that size. And, I mean, from the left guard over, it's just really solid. I mean, our right tackle, to me, played like a pro bowler this year. He didn't make it, and I thought he should have. And we're getting Pouncey back. I think the backup center, Cody Wallace, is just a tough guy. He's not great. But for a backup, this guy really plays hard. He'll get after you. He's nasty. I like our offensive line. I think we've really come a long way.
So let me ask you a question.
Sure.
I got to ask you this because you're a Pittsburgh fan. Unbiasedly, who takes the AFC North this year in your eyes? I know it's early prediction.
No. Unbiasedly, barring major injuries, I think we do. To be honest with you, because I think one of the things people don't talk about, I never make excuses for injuries, but injuries do tell the tale of how deep your team is. It really just shows you how good Pittsburgh is to have the injuries be down to the fourth string quarterback and still be able to get to a 10-6 record. I don't think other teams – the Ravens had an off year, but I truly look at them as the barometer for us because they've been the chief rival. You know, they draft and build a team the right way, and I don't think it's – teams can't really sustain when they get the type of injuries we have and continue to keep it going. So I think, barring major injuries, I think it's simply because we have the best quarterback. And if he's healthy and plays, he's just tough to stop no matter what defense is out there. I mean, see what he did to Denver's defense. That was laughable. I mean, he moved the ball up and down the field. I think Roethlisberger's in the zone, and I'm going with us.
I'm gonna tell you something, man. I'm not going to comment on that. You know, I'm looking at the guys you guys drafted. This is a sleeper right here. But I do think with enough hard work and determination, this guy can work his way up into your starting core for linebackers is Tyler Matakevich out of Temple. That guy is a tackling machine.
Yeah, very productive.
All right? I've seen the guy play. He's very, very productive. He's going to be something to reckon with, you know, and for years to come. I definitely think that he picked the right team to go to. But as far as the division goes, we shall see, man. We shall see, you know. We shall see.
Go ahead.
I put it to you this way. If the rumors are true, if the Bengals are considering bringing Anquan Boldin, Andre Johnson, or even Marcus Colston to fill that second receiver void, just watch out. That's all I got to say.
I mean, that would be – yeah, I mean, that those guys are proven players. They're proven gritty players. You know, it's funny. I think when Antoine Blake, our corner last year, was getting cycled off the field and Ross Cockrell, that's the name to watch out for, started to come in more with Boykin and Gay, who really Gay by PFF standard was one of the best corners in the league. Now, we know he's not, but he never got beat. He was steady. I think our defense really started to come around. And, I mean, aside, you know, the fourth quarter against you guys, we don't need to rehash it. It was wild. You know, I do credit you coming back. But for three quarters, we saw what that defense can do. I'll bet it was weather, but you know, both teams playing it. You know, we saw, even with weapons, going against whoever we were going against, you know, our defense can step up. And I think with the additions, with Golston now coming in, he was injured last year. I mean, I like what we have. And, again, we got the quarterback, so I'm confident.
I just got to say this. With Dalton, if Dalton plays in that playoff game, the Bengals win that game. That's the honest feeling, okay? Okay, and, you know, you guys didn't beat us. We beat ourselves that game.
I agree with that to a point. I think Dalton, of course, the game is a little different. My problem with that narrative is that aside from maybe one game in 2014 in Cincinnati, Andy Dalton's been terrible against Pittsburgh. He hasn't figured it out. So, like you said, if I go by pass barometers, I'm going to go by the pass and think based on that, I don't think the score would have been different.
We figured it out this season, it seemed. We beat you guys in Pittsburgh. And, you know, on the way, I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, I'm making this show about a Bengals-Steelers rivalry right now. But you know, you know, like I said, we had this. We had you guys beat. I think we would have beaten you guys if Andy Dalton didn't break his thumb, didn't dislocate his finger, his thumb on his throwing hand this season. I really honestly believe we would have beat you guys in that game, the game he dislocated his finger in, and in the playoff game. Because the Bengals, well, this was their year. They were on a roll. They were on a magical run, literally. But you know what? The past is the past. You got to look towards the future. I know all I know, man. I don't know about you, but I know I'm going to be in Cincinnati for when we face Pittsburgh. I believe it's week 2. I'm going to be at that game. I'm going to make it my business.
Oh, no, that'll be in Pittsburgh. That'll be in Pittsburgh. Week 2 is in Pittsburgh.
That'll be in Pittsburgh? The second time around we play you guys, I'm not going to Pittsburgh to play you guys in Pittsburgh. I'll be okay. I'm all right. I'll take a flyer on that one. I'm okay with that. But I want to thank you definitely. Oh no, what were you gonna say?
Oh no. I was just gonna say no. I mean, and I get it. I think the games could have had a little bit of a different outcome, but that kind of goes to what I'm saying about Pittsburgh's draft and depth and being able to sustain injuries. And when you do have injuries, like we could say Roethlisberger was coming back from injury that first game and was definitely rusty, but hey, your defense stepped up, your defense played well, but that's why you won. You didn't win because of Andy Dalton, because aside from the shovel pass, at the end of the game, that was a nice play. He didn't play well. So it's once again the same thing where I'm not sure he's really – figured Pittsburgh out, and then when injuries hit the team, when you have to overcome them, I need to see more of that consistently from Cincinnati, unlike us, who we've shown over and over and over we can do that, regardless of situation, we figure out a way. I'm not sure the Bengals have shown that yet, so therefore I don't believe it. I need to see more of that. And, maybe this is the year, I don't know, but I think if Ben's healthy, I'm going with Ben because he'll outduel and be able to do more in the clutch situation than Andy Dalton will be able to do.
Well, okay. We got to go to the – I want to thank you for calling in to the right way. I'm looking forward to the season. It should definitely be exciting. I want to definitely thank you for your support, man. Have a good evening, all right?
Yeah, man, it's a great show. I'll definitely call cool. back, man. I want to talk some more. You know, you guys know your stuff.
Thank you, man. Greatly appreciate it, as well do you, too.
Right,
take care, man.
All right, then. See you later.
Something about when you talk to a Pittsburgh fan. Pittsburgh fan. Yeah, I'm sweating. Something about when you talk to a Pittsburgh fan, they take you up to another level. No, he's right. He's definitely right. You know, the Bengals definitely have to figure something out when it comes to the Pittsburgh Steelers. But let's switch gears. Let's not make it about the Bengals. It's not what I came here to talk about. Ryan Fitzpatrick, Mike, let me get your thoughts, man. Are they just going to sign this guy or what? Jeremy, let me get your thoughts on this too. Are they going to sign this guy or should they sign him or should they just wipe their hands with him and be done?
Go ahead, Jeremy. I think they got to go. They got to go sign him. I mean, best season ever by a Jet quarterback, and I mean that was his first year there too. I'm, you know, not really like situated. You know, it's still fresh with the offense and everything, and the numbers he put up were just phenomenal. I think when you have a receiver like Brandon Marshall, Eric Decker. And on the rise, Devin Smith out of Ohio State. The loss of Chris Ivory, you know, I think that's going to really show next year more than people realize, but I think they need to lock that.
Well, they got Matt Forte, so I think they'll be all right.
Yeah. I thought I love Matt Forte as a player, great player. I mean, you know, catch the ball 100 times and still give you 1,000 yards on the ground, but I like that Chris Ivory brought to that team. I think he was a Jet.
Yeah, agreed. What do you think, Mike?
My initial reaction to Jets is it doesn't. I don't think it really matters much. I think their best days are behind them. Brandon Marshall had an unbelievable season. Even Fitzpatrick, but to do it again, you know, I don't necessarily care what they did last year. I mean, is he going to go out and throw another 31 touchdowns, Fitzpatrick, if he comes back? I like the upgrade in Forte. I like Powell behind him and Kyrie Robinson can bang. You said you liked how they used Ivory. I don't know, man. I mean, they made some moves on defense, but I do think with their schedule being tougher, I think it's a big difference. I'm not sure they can hold on together. I like the Dolphins in that division too, as an ascending team, and obviously the Patriots. I don't think even if Brady services four, it's going to matter much. I still think they're obviously the team to beat. So. For the Jets. I mean, I think they do bring him in eventually. But, again, ultimately, I don't know that it really matters.
Yeah, I'm hearing the 24th is the, you know, their deadline to bring him in. And I think I know both parties want to reunite. I guess we just have to wait and see what happens, actually. I mean, it should be very, very interesting. But, you know, like I said, I'm not really a fan of him. So, you know, I guess we just got to see what's going to happen.
Jeremy, you're a Giant fan?
No. I think I just, you know, I think when you have something like that, you know, you gotta keep it going. And he didn't do that, you know, by luck. I try to explain that to people a lot. I mean, when you have two receivers and you have, I feel like in the league a lot, it happens where, you know, you give guys the talent around them and they don't produce. But when you know, Fitzpatrick wasn't the guy in New York, and he just knew how to use the weapons that he had. And I thought, you know, they did what they did on offense, and their defense is always phenomenal.
Absolutely. As a veteran quarterback in the league, you should be able to, you know?
And when it worked, it worked. I tell you, go get them.
Mike, were you about to ask him?
No. Jeremy, who's your team? Who's your favorite team?
I'm not really too big into rooting for specific NFL teams. I'm really into the college team,
nice.
But if I had to choose, it'd probably be the New York Football Giants.
All right.
Oh.
Who's your college team?
Oh, Alabama Crimson Tide on the way, baby.
Just like
Roll
me.
Tide,
Roll
said.
Tide.
Yeah,
that's
nice.
What I'm talking about.
Roll
right.
Tide.
That's what
right.
I'm talking about. All right,
winner.
So let me ask you guys this. That's what we do. That's what we do. We got to win all the time. So let me ask you guys this. Either or can answer it first. To recap of the NFL draft, in your eyes, who got the steals and who got the bad deals?
Steals. I'm going to have to go with Jacksonville, and they got two steals back-to-back. I mean, in the first round, you grab Jalen Ramsey, who really shouldn't have been on the board of, you know, even pick four. Even with the trading up, I thought this is a once-in-a-lifetime player. I mean, this guy, you might not be able to say what he has, but he has it.
Exactly.
And then you grab Miles Jack in the second round. I mean, even if he doesn't play, that's a second-round pick. It's, you know, that could still be a hit or miss guy. I mean, high draft pick, but, you know, you didn't draft him at four. You drafted him, what, 35, would I say?
Yeah,
somewhere around there. You know, even if he doesn't play, even if, you know, he doesn't pan out, as of now, that's a steal.
So, in your eyes, you got the bad deal?
Bad deal.
You got bad deals.
I'm going to have to go with the Chargers.
Really?
I think when you have that high of a pick and, you know, you pass on players like even Zeke Elliott or, you know, I wasn't sold on Joey Bosa ever. I mean, I see another Davion Clowney kind of guy coming here where he's not going to give you 100. He's going to, you know, mess around a little bit more. And you pick, you know, you pick that high. You pick at what, pick three? We're at pick three.
Yeah. I mean,
I
was very shocked that Joey Bosa went that high. I didn't see him as, you know, such a high pick. But Mike, who got a steal for you and who got the bad deal?
I think as far as bad deals, I didn't really focus on bad deals. I'm not actually, unlike Jeremy, I'm not a big college guy. Whatever I know on college guys, you know, is a lot of what I read and little from what I watch. But I didn't get into college. I don't get into college very much. I don't think Dallas. I agree with what Jeremy said. The talent, the amount of talent that was in this draft for running backs, behind such a really good offensive line. I think taking a number four pick overall for a running back was really risky. Historically speaking, top running back picks don't make it to playoffs and Super Bowls on teams that they were drafted by. I'll go with history instead of trying to buck the trends. You know, and then their second round pick or their third round pick might not even play for the whole year, and that's a real risky. I mean, that's a lot of risk taking if you ask me. So, I agree with San Diego. That was, you know, Bosa. I was actually a little surprised. I thought they would have taken Ramsey, if he were there. But, as far as winners, I thought Cincinnati had a real good draft, Malik. I know I'm not just saying that. But they got Billings, right? A little later on. I like William Jackson.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Obviously, Jacksonville is going to be the everyone's trendy pick this year, offensively, defensively.
So, but I do like what they did. I thought my Bears did pretty well.
Agreed.
Bullard in the third. Obviously, Leonard Floyd in the first. Offensive lineman, the White, in the second round. So, and then Howard, Juwan Howard, the running back from Indiana, who is going to probably get a lot of playing time. I thought those are some winners.
Agreed.
Let's see. Buffalo got a couple defensive studs, depending on Lawson's health, but Buffalo helped themselves out.
Well, Shaq Lawson got hurt, too.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on with him. I mean, I never thought – I wasn't a big fan of any of the Clemson players. People next year, you know, they're going to be talking about their quarterback and all coming out. But how about the Redskins?
Can I ask you guys a question? This is just – I mean, that's not a question. I'm going to tell you guys how I feel about the whole thing. I think the Miami Dolphins got a steal, right? I think Miami Dolphins got a steal on Laramie Tunsil. I think they got a steal on Laramie Tunsil, but I also think that Miami Dolphins, who I'm going back with as far as bad deals, I didn't understand it. They went out and they traded up to get a cornerback in the second round and Xavier Howard out of Baylor. I didn't understand that. To me, you don't trade. I mean, he's a guy, and you know, Mike Mayock said it best. He's a guy that would have been there when it was time for the Dolphins to pick. So it came as a shock to see them trade up. However many picks they did trade up to him, I think they traded up. They traded up with the Ravens to pick this guy. It was very shocking to me. I didn't see it coming. I was like, you know, I could see it was like a really like game changing playmaker. But some people even had a hard time debating if this guy was even going to be, you know, a second round pick. But once again, maybe the Dolphins coaching staff saw something in him. You know, I don't know what they really saw in him, but it was a reach to me. That was a big reach to me. This draft was very very. It was very shocking. I mean, not really shocking, but more so.
It was dramatic.
Dramatic. You didn't really see what was. You really didn't expect some of the moves, I guess. So early predictions, guys. Who gets rookie of the year?
I'm going to take a stretch here. I'm going to go with Josh Dobbs from the Redskins. And now here I am with me on this. I think. The stuff, everything else that's going around him, I mean, I think Kirk Cousins is up and coming, you know, the hype around him, I like that. Deshaun Jackson just completely takes away a safety or two safeties even with that elite speed. Jordan Reed is really coming on to be a really, really good player. And I think Josh Doctson is just going to be that extra little flash that they need to put him over the top. I mean, this guy, I see him make catches, you know, similar to Odell and he's just big body, too. Des Bryant, like, I just think he's going to be a really good player and really going to go under the radar. But I think he'll come on during the season.
Okay. I could understand that. What do you think, Mike? Who gets rookie of the year for you?
I'm going to go on a limb as well and say running back from Ohio State, Zeke Elliott. I mean, looking at these guys, I don't know, man. I don't trust Teddy B as much as I like Treadwell. I mean, people say the Vikings are a 12-1 team. I don't know that Bridgewater's a 12-1 quarterback. I mean, you know, Corey Coleman, I don't know what the situation is over there. I like him. I do like Doctson, but I don't know that, you know, other guys, you know, other running backs, you know, you never know. Booker in Denver, you know, might get some time. And, you know, my guy in Chicago, Howard, might get some time. But quarterbacks is kind of tough. Like I said, I'll go with Elliott. I think behind that line, he's gonna get rolling with them.
I think there's too much else going on in that backfield though, with Alfred Morris and Darren McFadden. I mean, it's not even said. I mean, he was drafted high, but Zeke Elliott isn't gonna get as many touches as people think. I mean, especially as a rookie, I think Darren McFadden really proved himself last year, and I think Alfred Morris is a really tough runner. That you know, there's gonna be a lot of split carry there and a lot more than people realize.
Yeah, I agree.
So, you know, for rookie of the year, it's pretty much of a toss-up for me. I'm not really sure who gets rookie of the year because, you know, NFL is kind of weird as far as who gets these awards and stuff like that. But I guess if I had to pick, I'm going to go Jared Goff.
He's in a good situation.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, I think he's the one guy who, you know, our eyes are definitely going to be on him. I think that he, I mean, to me, it's either Jared Goff or Will Fuller for the Texans. Like I said, they're
wow.
I'm sorry, what's that?
I think he has bust written all over him.
Yeah, I'm not a big Fuller fan either, fantasy-wise.
Yeah, I just think that with the talent around him, you know, he's going to ascend. I think he's going to get more, you know, more balls thrown his way, you know, especially with DeAndre Hopkins being double covered. Now you got Braxton Miller as well to worry about, the speedy guy in this, even though he's still winning the receiver position. When he does have it down packed and, you know, learning in NFL form, I think he's definitely going to be a force. But like I said, I just think that Jared Goff is, as you said, Jeremy, I think Jared Goff's in a very good situation. And I think he's the one guy who, going into, you know, or at least offensively, because, you know, offensive guys, you know, tend to get get more looks than the defensive guys, unless, you know, you're like a really, really dominant defensive player. I think Jared Goff is, I think he has the pieces around him with Tavon Austin and, you know, got the running back position.
Ty Gurley.
Tyler Gurley. You know, he has guys around him to help him succeed a bit. But like I said, only time will tell. It should be very, very interesting. But Jared Goff, to me, is a guy who could wind up being, you know, rookie of the year. So with that all being said, Mike, this is your part of the show. I'm going to let you take over. And that's who to watch out for in fantasy.
All right, so, you know, Malik, it's real early, man, but, you know, just from putting some stuff together, you know, new coaches in different places, Rod Chudzinski in Indianapolis, that'll affect that offense. I think that's a plus for Andrew Luck. I like Dante Moncrief and also Dwayne Allen.
Yeah.
You know, I the last time we spoke, Malik, I told you about when it comes to fantasy, I'm all about value.
Absolutely.
You know, I like to sit back and pick out guys who are valuable. I think Dwayne Allen will be a good value. They did not replace Kobe Fleener. That offense, you know, incorporates a tight end often. And I'm just a bounce-back Andrew Luck guy this year. So I think he's going to be heavily involved. Adam Gase in Miami, another change that's going to affect that offense pretty big.
Absolutely.
Devontae Parker, Jay Ajayi. I was a big Tannehill guy last year and got disappointed. But I may go back to him. I kind of like what he did. I saw a little bit of Gase last year with the Bears, and, you know, they weren't terrible. They weren't terrible.
Absolutely.
Let's see. Again, some of the intriguing teams I like. I think Oakland, Miami, Jacksonville. New Orleans did a lot of work on their defense. I thought a couple free agent signings. I think they got Nick Fairley and had a couple defensive draft picks. I like what they did in a division that I think Carolina will take a little bit of a step back. So I think the opportunity is there for them. I think my Bears could be a little bit of a sub team again. I think it should be better than the Lions. They've been trying to reconstruct that defense over the last couple of years with Vic Fangio. Let me give you a couple of guys. I think people are going to be sleeping on Jordy Nelson. I'll take a chance on Jordy Nelson. I like Michael Floyd, DeAndre Hopkins. I like guys in contract years, Malik. DeAndre Hopkins is in a contract year, yeah.
Absolutely.
Les Bell's in a contract year. Allen Robinson, I love Allen Robinson this year. I'm willing to take a chance on Eddie Lacy if the price is right. Was never a big Eddie Lacy guy, but he lost a lot of weight and gave me the Packer offense all day.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm just not I still don't know how, you know, you said, going back, you said Lev Bell. I'm not sure how he comes back off the MCL tear, so that should be very, very interesting. I haven't heard too many reports about it. Last I heard, he was moving along okay. But, you know, like I said, everybody comes back differently from the injury, especially with that in that division. It's a very, very physical division, so everybody's body, you know, heals differently. And, you know, with the punishment he has to – I wouldn't be shocked if he even started the year on the pup list, but, I mean, I don't really think that he's a candidate for it right now because the injury happened so early on in the last season. But was that it?
Let's see, looking over my list. Delaney Walker caught 95 balls last year. I know the offense will look a little different this year in Tennessee, but I didn't realize he caught 95 balls last year.
Yeah.
right?
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Alshon's in the contract year for the Bears. I think Doug Baldwin's in the contract year for the... Doug Baldwin's
sure is, yep.
fire last year. Holy moly.
Yes, he did. Yes, sir. I'm not really a fantasy guy like you, Mike, but, you know, with me stepping back into fantasy realm this year, I just want to throw two names out there for my team specifically who I think might be, you know, looking to have big years. Tyler Eifert, with him after this year going into a contract year, and Giovanni Bernard going into a contract year this year. So
yeah, both the contract.
Those are my two. Although Giovanni Bernard might be locked up before the season even starts. That's what the Bengals are working towards. But, you know, that once again, that's one of those things where we'll have to just wait to see what happens before I put the, put the stamp on that one. So, you know, last topic of the day, what team, I know it's early, but what team is you guys' sleeper? Jeremy, I'll start with you.
I'm going to head over to the Oakland Raiders, and I think they're going to be a lot better than they were last year. I think that the Denver Broncos, I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't make the playoffs. I mean, I just see, like, such a young and upcoming team with the Oakland Raiders. I just see, you know, Khalil Mack is a star. Amari Cooper is going to be a star. Derek Carr is going to be a star. Bruce Irvin coming off the edge, too. They're going to get Aldon Smith back. And just the nicks and knacks they did on defense, I just think they're going to be, you know, a much better team next year, too.
Okay. Mike, what about you?
I want to go back to my Chicago Bears, Malik. I was saying earlier, they've been reconstructing that defense with Vic Fangio from the Niners, who was a top five defense his whole tenure in San Fran. We've been adding pieces. We've been drafting. Offensively, Kevin White, last year's first-round draft pick, comes back, along with Alshon, obviously. The tight end is a little bit of a question mark. They like Zach Miller. They drafted a guy, or maybe he was even unsigned from Harvard. Who knows whether he makes the team, but they seem to like him. The running backs, Langford and Howard, the draft pick. And I got faith in Fox and Fangio. The division,
agreed.
I think, is not tough. I think the Vikings may be one of those teams that, you know, make the playoffs one year and don't make it back the next. I think we're better than the Lions. I mean, I damn near know we're better than the Lions. So, I mean, you know, I'll take on the Packers if it's a two-team race.
Hey, I'm not arguing that one. I'll tell you that much. My sleeper pick, and I can't even believe I'm saying this, it's going to be the Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins are going to be my sleeper pick this year. Sorry, what'd you say?
I remember them being a sleeper pick 2 years ago. I mean, I think the only thing they really have going from is great receiver in Landry. And other than that, I can't really see much going around. They lost
the reason,
Lamar Miller.
The reason why they're my sleeper pick is because of Vance Joseph, the new defensive coordinator, and the head coach, Adam Gase. If Adam Gase can turn around Jay Cutler, he can turn around Ryan Tannehill. Let's make no mistake about it. Ryan Tannehill has an upside. We all saw that the year he passed for 4,000 yards. Ryan Tannehill definitely has an upside. The year before last, he passed for 4,000 yards and a very good season. I think they have the coaching staff in place, and I'm not just saying that because it took some of our state coaching staff, but I think that they actually are in a mode to, you know, I think they're going to compete for that division this year. I see the division coming down for them and the Patriots this year. That's just my gut feeling. I think Adam Gase is going to have this team ready, right? And I think he's going to have them competing as well. And let's not forget, there's still an opportunity for the Miami Dolphins to go out and get a running back. And there is a man on the board. I know not a lot of people is high on him, but I'm not high on him either. But when the guy's on, he's on, and that guy is Arian Foster. If the Miami Dolphins decide to go out and get Arian Foster and he can stay healthy, whoa, man, what are we talking about then? I think we're talking about a whole nother can of worms. You know, that just opened up the passing game for Ryan Tannehill, opens up the passing game, you know, it opens up a plethora of things, and I think the defense is going to excel this year. I'm curious to see how Ndamukong Suh bounces back after a down year. Mario Williams in a different setting, and you know, the return of Cameron Wake as well. So this should be a very, very exciting season. once again, I'm not saying the Dolphins are going to go out and be giant killers and beat this team and beat that team, but I am saying that they are a team to watch out for. They are my sleeper. So, you know, that's who I'm going with. Guys, unfortunately, we ran out of time today on The Right Way. It was definitely a great show. Sorry, I made the show about the Steelers and the Bengals for a good portion. you know, it's definitely great to have the show relaunched and headed in the right direction. And, I look forward to a very bright future with you guys. And, Mike, I want to thank you for coming on, you know, talking a little fantasy with us and talking all the different topics as well.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, man. Anytime. Yeah.
No problem. Once again, I want to let you guys know if you guys want to, send me any questions, any topics you guys want me to talk about, just like we did before. Only thing different now is we have our own email account. You can follow me on at the right way, vsp@gmail.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at the right way, @gmail, or you can hit me up on my personal email, therealmalikwright. @gmail.com, and we also have Instagram @therightwaybsp. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, we ran out of time for today, but I want to thank you guys for joining in on the show, and I look forward to seeing you guys here, right here, back live next week, 8 p.m., Thursday night. Have a good night, everybody.
See you then.